Let me mention just three things, a couple of corrections. If you have the sermon outline in the back, under point number five, it should say seek with a K at the end instead of seek. So please add the letter K there. This evening we have Pastor Jared Olivetti from the West Lafayette Congregation Emmanuel to be preaching. And if you look at the sermon title, if it sounds familiar, that was because the computer remembers, and if it doesn't get changed, it doesn't get changed. And the actual title is Pursuit and Reward. That means Mr. Olivetti doesn't have to be thinking all through the sermon, how do I tie this in to Christmas, to Christ's birth. And Proverbs 2 might be a little difficult. So that's that is a correction there. And then I just warn you that I'm going to be doing something very different today. This message is for the children. The whole sermon is for the children. And I hope I am able to communicate to you all. Yes, yay, that's good, yeah. I don't maybe speak it up to the children. The adults can listen. We're talking, and maybe the adults should draw a picture this week instead of the children. And one of the elders said, "Well, at least I'll understand it." And I hope that that's true. That some of the things that are appropriate for the children would be appropriate for the adults. But this passage is a passage when Jesus is 12 years old. And so I know some of you are actually 12 years old right now. Some of you may be a year or two younger, a year or two older. But think about the children that are about 11, 12, 13. And that was Jesus' age when this happened. And as you think about that, I want us to think about what are the applications for the children. And so I wanted to address the children in particular throughout the passage. And if you think I'm looking at you and you're one of the children, you're right. I'm going to try to look at you. I'm going to try to address you and so that you are listening and paying attention. Now, it's hard maybe to listen to the whole sermon, but hopefully we'll be able to do that. Well, let's read about Jesus when he is 12. Luke 2, verse 41 to 52. And his parents, Jesus' parents, that's Joseph and Mary, used to go up to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. As they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. And his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey. And they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. And it came about after 3 days that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you're looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So children, do you ever play follow the leader? Have you ever played Follow the Leader? It's really a pretty simple game, isn't it? You don't need any bats or balls or any other things. You just have to have somebody go first, and everybody else lines up, and you do whatever that leader does, whatever the first person does. And if they hop on their left foot, you come along and hop on your left foot. If they jump up on the wall and then jump back down, you do the same thing. If they spin around, you spin around. Whatever you see, you to do. And if they're hopping on their left foot, you don't hop on your right foot. You're hopping on your left foot. You want to do exactly all that you see that person doing. Well, growing up in a Christian home, children, you have a leader. Your leader is Jesus Christ. And you are to follow Him. Now, as you follow, there are times when you can't follow everything. You may try to follow your parents, but they might go and vote, and you can't do that. Or maybe an older brother goes and joins the army, and you can't do that quite yet. And so there's some things that we can't follow Jesus. And as you read the story of what Jesus does, there are some things that you can't do. You can't go to the cross and die like Jesus did. But there are many things that you can do. And as we think about Jesus being 12 years old, being a young man, a lad, you can do those things. What you see Him doing at age 12, you can begin to follow and begin to do. Now, the adults, you can follow as well. And so our theme this morning is that children, follow your leader. Follow Jesus Christ. And the way I say it is by getting better and better in your two families. Now that may sound strange, and I'll try to explain it. You have two families. One is pretty easy to see. That's your, what we call your earthly family. It's your mom and dad. And I could ask you to draw a picture of your mom and dad. And you draw them maybe with glasses or without glasses, depending on what they look like. And so you know who that family is, the brothers and sisters you have. And that's one family. And after the service, you'll go home and you'll be with your family. But there's a second family that you're a part of, and that's a spiritual family. It's a family that has God in heaven as your heavenly Father. And the people in the church become your brothers and sisters. And just as it mentions Jesus growing in stature, he got taller and taller, and you'll be, most of you, unless you reach your full heart, are going to get taller and taller, you're going to grow. There's ways that you can grow in terms of who you are as a person, in terms of what you know and what you understand. And this part of the Bible tells us how you're to grow in those two different families. In terms of that family of your mom and dad that's here on earth, how are you to grow with regard to them? And there's certain things you need to do. But also it tells us in terms of that heavenly family, that spiritual family, how can you grow as well? Now there's one way in which Jesus, even as a boy, is different from all of us, is he never did wrong. And yet, as you look at the last verse that we read, it talks about how Jesus grew in wisdom and in favor. That he was able to become better and better in those areas, in some sense. And the question is, how can you do that today, boys and girls? How can you grow? Let me tell you five things. In your Heavenly Father family, give thanks for your parents, especially if they're good parents, or what I would call godly parents. Good parents are parents like those of Mary and Joseph, who are godly parents. And how do we see that? We see it in verse 41. They would go up each year to the feast of Passover. Now God told all the men in Israel, all the Jewish men, that they were to come to that temple 3 times a year. So all the dads were to go up. Now, it wasn't required of the moms, but some of the moms would go, and we see Mary going as well. And it would imply that the whole family would go up with them. That this was something important. And you may remember the Passover from the story you've heard of how the people were in Egypt and were slaves, and then God sent a deliverer, and his name was Moses. And he told them what to do and to get ready. And then there would be a day when the angel passed over them and would kill the firstborn of all the Egyptians that had happened. And the Jewish people then celebrated, had a day of rejoicing over what God did. And actually, it was a week long. And so for a week, the people would go up and would worship and would be happy before God. Now they would worship at home. They would worship each week in Nazareth. And we could think of how Mary and Joseph would do that. And how they would bring Joseph, Jesus, and his other brothers and sisters with them to worship. But then there was that special time that they would come and worship God, do exactly what God had told them to do. So we see that for good parents, for godly parents, worship was important. It was key to get the family, to get the children to the worship. You know, and as I see each one of you here, your parents think that's important too. Or you wouldn't be here this morning. You know, they brought you here because they know it's important. They do lots of things for you. They feed you, they clothe you, they help you, they see that you get an education, they love you, they give hugs and all sorts of things. Things that are good. But godly parents understand worship is important as well. Now perhaps you don't remember to say thank you when maybe mom cooks you something for lunch. But you shouldn't. Because she's doing something nice, something kind, something loving to you. Well, in the same way, when your parents bring you to worship, you should be saying thank you to them. You ever do that? Because they know something's, they know that this is important. And they're doing something good for you. Worship was central to what Mary and Joseph did. And you can see that they did it, not just on this one occasion, but every year they would do this. They'd worship in Nazareth, but also they would make that long journey to Jerusalem to worship on special occasions. And you just think about it, and I've already mentioned it before, it enabled Jesus to do all that he was supposed to do. He had to fulfill the law. And he could do it because his parents helped him to do it. They helped him to do those things when he was too small to do them for himself. Well, the second thing, children, that we see is you need to follow Jesus in obeying your parents. Even if they do wrong. Even when they make mistakes. And parents will make mistakes. They will sin. You know, parents can get angry. They maybe can shout. Say something that hurts. may be doing something that might hurt you. And if you think about Mary and Joseph, they were maybe the best parents ever. That would have been the reason why God would have chosen to put his son with them. So they would have been outstanding parents. They would have been godly parents. And yet, we see them making mistakes. As you look at verses 43 and 44, they go a day's journey and don't realize that Jesus wasn't with them. And one of my children will tell you she's been left a couple of times at church. You know, when we have two cars and my wife thinks she's with her and I think that, and she thinks, well, they'll get her and get a phone call. I'm still here at church. Somebody going to get me home. Well, I think we have the same sort of thing going on here. Verse 44 talks about a caravan. And children, what's a caravan? It's a large group of people who are traveling together. And it's likely that from Nazareth there would be a whole group, maybe even bigger than the congregation here, that would be traveling together. And in those days, the women and the small children would be up front, traveling at the head, and the men and the bigger boys and some of the teenage boys would be back behind. And Jesus would be at age 12, just sort of in that transition. He could be with the smaller children, or he could be with the bigger boys. Where was he? Well, it'd be easy for Mary to think, well, he's back with the bigger boys, or the dead. And it'd be easy for Joseph to think, well, he's up front with Mary and the younger children. And so it would be easy for them to go thinking the other had him. And so there was really a miscommunication going on between the mom and the dad, and that happened. And, your parents will leave children at church because there's a miscommunication or whatever. But if you look a little closer, as they find him, Mary says, "Son, why have you treated us this way?" What she's doing here is now really placing the blame on Jesus. As if somehow he lost himself, that he was responsible for being lost rather than they, as parents, were responsible for not knowing where he was. Mary should have accepted the blame. That as parents, they had a responsibility for knowing where he was. And so even in Mary and Joseph, we see parents who make mistakes, who do wrong, and maybe children, you've felt that sometimes, that your parents have, maybe forgotten you somewhere. Somebody was going to pick you up after some sporting thing and they weren't there. And there's miscommunication. Or maybe your brother or sister did something and you got punished because the parents thought you did it when it was somebody else. And you try, kind of tell them, well, no, it was, and they don't listen to you. And parents, there's an implication, maybe if you do wrong, you need to, at times, ask your children for forgiveness that you have sinned against them. But the thing, children, you're to see here is that Jesus still obeyed his parents. If you look at verse 51, it says Jesus continued in subjection, and we might say he continued to obey Mary and Joseph. The fact that they made mistakes didn't cause him not to obey anymore. Jesus still obeyed. And so one of the things that you can learn and one of the things that you can do, children, is to obey mom and dad. And there will be times when they make mistakes. but you still to obey mom and dad. A third thing, children, that you can see here is that, like Mary, there'll be some things that God tells you that may be hard to understand, but you have to hold on to them. Now, Mary and Joseph were told to not really understand what was going on in this incident. Verse 48 says they're anxiously looking. Instead of knowing immediately what was going on, they were all concerned. And then verse 50, as they heard Jesus' statement to them and their words, they were perplexed or were amazed by what Jesus was saying to them. They really didn't understand this incident and what Jesus was saying and what Jesus was trying to tell them. But verse 51 says, his mother, talking about Mary, treasured all these things in her heart. She held on to them, and that word treasured, it means you treat it as something important, something very, very valuable. And she didn't understand what was happening, but she knew it was important. And she held on to it. And she valued it. And children, there's likely much that's hard for you maybe to understand. Maybe sometimes you're in a class downstairs and your teacher teaches you a lesson, it doesn't quite make sense. Or you're asked to memorize some scripture and you're not sure really what it means. Not to mention the pastor. You know, what he says in the pulpit and as he talks about Jesus and Jesus dying, you think, what does that mean? Why is that important? Why does the pastor talk about it just about every single week? And it may not make sense to you. But you'd be like Mary. She knew somehow all of this was important. And she held on to it. She treasured it in her heart. And later on, she did understand what was going on. Later on, as she saw Jesus develop and grow into a man and begin to teach and then die on the cross, it would all fit together. But she needed to hold on. She needed to remember and then be thinking about it over time, and she would come to understand it. Well, that's often the way it is for children and for adults. So we need to understand and hold on to certain things, and we'll grow in our understanding until we understand what God is saying to us in the Bible. And sometimes what happens is maybe a teenager, they're thinking about the Bible, they're thinking about the mention of death, Jesus' death and burial and resurrection, it doesn't make sense. And they just want to get rid of anything Christian. And adults can do that because it doesn't make sense to them. But that's the wrong approach. The approach should be like Mary, to understand it's important and to look that over time you'll understand what God is saying to you. Well, children, do you like to play hide and seek? You ever play hide and seek? I won't ask for hands, but I hope you like to play hide and seek. You know, or maybe your brother or sister or friend is hiding somewhere in the house and you have to go and look for them. And maybe you have a really good hiding place that you like to hide. And it's very hard. Do you know the one thing that can ruin that game? That you're in your favorite hiding place, and that person looking for it decides they're not going to come looking for you at all. So you're there, you're hidden away in the closet, under some clothes or wherever, and they're watching TV. Not very far. Because they have to seek. They have to be looking for you to make the game fun. And even if you don't hide very well, there can be that finding you and then your turn and that sort of thing. But if the person never comes and looks for you, not very fun. So it's important to seek. And as we look at the last two things, it's important to seek certain things, just as Jesus did as a boy. And so number four is, like the boy Jesus, seek spiritual truth. Now we're getting to that second family, the heavenly family. And how can you imitate Jesus as he was involved in this heavenly family? Well, one of the ways is by seeking spiritual truth. You know, when Jesus was found by his parents, he was at the temple. He was with the religious leaders, and he was listening and asking questions. He was seeking something. He was trying to find something, and that was what the truth was about God, about the world that God has made, about what God wants for him and for others. So he was speaking what we call, he was seeking after spiritual truth. And as children, you can seek truth in a lot of areas. You can seek to learn more about nature and what it's like, and read up on animals and clouds and storms and how they work. Maybe seek to know more about cooking and how to cook well, or mathematics or science or something like that. But the most important area is what we see here. It's to seek the truth about God. To know God. It's the most important truth of all. To be able to answer the questions, who made me? Why did he make me? What am I to do here on earth? How should I live? How can I please God? How can I get to heaven? And we see Jesus at age 12, and still a pretty young man, a lad we might call him, seeking those things. And you who are 11, 12, 13, you should be beginning to think and ask some of those same questions. And some of the younger ones, you can begin to ask some of those same things. You may have been taught already some of the answers. Who made you? I hope you all know that God made you. And why did God make you? And what does God want you to do? And as we see Jesus searching for that, seeking for that, wanting the answers to those questions and asking questions, children, you should be doing the same thing. And adults as well. To be having that same sort of thirst that wants to understand spiritual truth. And lastly, like the boy Jesus, seek your heavenly Father. Seek to know God. In verse 49, we have the very first words of Jesus of Nazareth. You know what he says as a 12-year-old boy. And notice what he says. These are the first words of Jesus. At the age of some of you are right now, why is it that you are looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? Now it's easy to understand why they might be a little confused, Mary and Joseph. Because if they think of the, literally in terms of their Father's house, they would think of the house of Joseph in Nazareth, where they lived and where they were and would come from for this week-long celebration. But Jesus is showing an awareness that his family is not just Mary and Joseph and his brothers and his sisters. There's another family. And he has a special relationship to that one who is the God of the Jews, the one who is pictured as living in that temple. And that's our Heavenly Father. And he's aware. He's keenly aware that this God was his Father. It's his Father in heaven. And he's mindful of his earthly family, and he remained so all through his life. And on the cross, he made provision for his mother to be taken in by the Apostle John. And so he was aware of that, of his responsibility toward her and taking care of her. But he's aware of something more. He was there aware of this relationship with God who is in heaven. Now Jesus had a different relationship than we can, because he was God. He was the same very form as his Heavenly Father, and we aren't. But because of that, and because of Jesus' death, you can have a relationship with God as well. You can become part of God's family. You can be adopted by God in heaven as one of his children. And you do that by believing in Jesus. You can know that when you pray, God hears you because of Jesus. You can become part of that second family if you trust in Jesus. And we see Jesus having that relationship to his Father in heaven. And each one of you need to have that relationship with God as well. Not by what you would do, but by Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this time in the life of Jesus when he was 12 years old. That he becomes an example for the children as they grow and develop, of how they're to be growing and developing in terms of their families, of how they submit, would obey their mom or their dad. How they're to be also, even at a young age, seeking to know God, seeking to know you, seeking to be part of your family. And I pray for each one of the boys and girls here today, each one of them, for the moms and dads, each of the adults as well, that they would seek you as our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. That by trusting in him, each one here can be adopted into your family, can be made a son or a daughter by adoption. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.